morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thank you for joining us. August is here, Tim. I'm excited. Was August here on Tuesday? I think it was.
It was.
It's my favorite month. I think I said that before. I really enjoy it. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate the support. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. October's my favorite month, and I feel like that's a cliche now. People are like, oh, I like the fall weather and Halloween. Listen, I was born in October. It's been my favorite month my whole life. Before it was cool, before it was hip to love October. Just saying.
What's October like on the East Coast? Is it warmer? Do you get the ocean effect, or just because October here in Michigan mostly stinks? Like, you get your first snow, it's really just junky. I don't like October at all.
October's beautiful in New England. This fall weather's it's very similar to Michigan. The difference is like this, the snow that you guys get longer parts of the year and more often. But we get a lot of snow in Boston too, but it's just a shorter winter.
It's also, there's more racist, I think, in Massachusetts on a whole. Isn't that true?
Per capita, maybe. I don't know.
I think so. I think it's very racist. Tim?
People have said that. Adam Jones said that.
Who's Adam Jones? Oh, that's the center fielder for the Baltimore Orioles. That's true.
He said that's it, true. And then like a bunch of other people came forward. It's not funny. It's
they're like, yeah, Boston's terrible. I agree. All right, moving on. We had a lot of positive feedback. Let's go from a negative to a positive. A lot of positive feedback for the Thunderbox. Lots of people reaching out saying they loved the idea. I'm going to try to get a picture for you. I want to get a 3D panoramic. I'll do the whole thing. I'm going to go up there hopefully again this year and help my father-in-law maybe just put the finishing touches on it. You know what I mean? Hanging windows, doing the finishing touches, and I'll get one in action. Like an action job where I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm going to try to figure that out. What's so
live
funny?
Stream from inside the Thunderbox?
No, there's no inside the Thunderbox. It's out there. I did think he should plant some trees so you can't see it from the road, because once the trees start to thin a little bit in your October, you can see the road, and like there, you're going to be there. You're going to be doing your business. All right, moving on. You know who's happy this morning, Tim?
Besides you?
I am actually in a good mood, surprisingly, and we'll get to that in a second, because I should be in a terrible mood. Troy Terry is in a great mood. Avoids arbitration. He came in with a huge number. Everybody thought was astronomical. 8 years, Troy. You crazy, crazy son of a gun. Anaheim came in at 4.8. Reasonable for a player of his ilk. $8 million, Troy. Well, they didn't even get to the arbitration hearing. They settled out of court. He gets a 7-year, $7 million, $49 million contract from the Anaheim not so mighty Ducks. Can you just wrap your head around this in the first place? Let's just take a step back. Us plebs, us normal people. $49 million, Tim. Isn't that incredible for a kid who's 25 years old, drafted in the fifth round, 148th overall? He just signed a $49 million contract. This kid played for University of Denver, wasn't even the best team on his in university. And now he's making $7 million a year. What would you do, Tim, today if someone said, I'm going to give you $7 million a year for 7 years? What would the first thing you buy be? And be honest.
A house, property, start investing, and then start traveling.
You're such a geek. Property and start investing? There's not one thing that you would want that you would splurge. Because I know what I bought when I signed my first ticket. My ticket wasn't $7 million. It was a lot less, but I was like, I wanted this. It's a status symbol for me. And I went out and got it. It was a Tag Heuer watch. I've always wanted a nice watch. Ever since as a kid, I always used to buy I had a big Oakley watch. It was huge. It was like I had a clock on my wrist. It was junk, but I'm like, I want a nice watch. So mine was a Tag Heuer watch. It cost me $3,000-$4,000. That was a big pill to swallow. What would you get, Tim? And don't be a geek and a nerd about this.
I was going to say, I have everything I need, John. There's not one thing.
Oh, my gosh. This show is just going down the drain. Let's go.
Okay, but use a house.
Ugh, all right. $7 million.
You say that because you've had houses for 15 years. It's no big deal. I would love to have a house.
That's not exciting, though. You don't want like a sports car. You don't want like leather pants. You don't want something that's just extravagant and frivolous and unnecessary. A house is a safe bet. You know what I mean? You're not going to lose your shirt on it after you buy it. You don't want something that you, whatever. You're no fun. You're the Debbie Downer of this podcast.
Not the Debbie Downer. I'm just being myself, John.
Mr. Realistic. Nobody wants you to be yourself. Be fun. I tell my wife this all the time. Can you be more fun? Can you be more fun, please?
I'm sure that's well received.
She hates it. I'm like, just be fun. Be like me. That's what I say. She hates it. All right. Moving on to the contract tip. 7 years, $7 million. First of all, is this a fair deal for player and team?
It's a lot of money. When we talked about it the other day, I said he's probably a $6 million player, and you thought that was high. Mm-hmm. You thought I was wrong. And you like that closer to the 4.5, 5.5, whatever. 7x7 is a lot of money. I saw a thing on like, you know, he's been a good player for the last two seasons, better 2 years ago than he was this past year. But it's like, okay, a little bit of a down year this year, but he still does X, Y, Z. Great. He's good. Okay. Not really. He didn't have a down year this year. He had a great year 2 years ago, and then he came back down to earth. Like, he's had one season where he had more than 23 goals, 37 goals. He lit the world on fire. It came back down to about the same amount of points year over year, 67 and then 61. So if he's a 30 goal, 65 point player for the next few years, is that going to be worth $7 million to them?
I doubt it. I don't know. It depends on where the cap goes. That's the thing, because right now it's 83.5. If it jumps up to 90, 92, 93 by the end of the 7 years, then it'll be a decent contract because there's more money in the system. But I think for the first few seasons, it's a bad contract. It's not looking good. And I think the immediate comparison is Matt Boldy. Same situation, same length, same term, 7 years, $7 million. Matt Boldy, I think, was more unproven than Troy Terry in a lot of ways. Matt Boldy was just coming off his second full year in the NHL, and they gave him this big ticket deal. I think it's the way of business, Tim. I don't know what to think of it. Yes, it looks bad. It looks like a lot of money. This guy's been in the league for a few years. He's a little bit older than Matt Boldy. He's 25. It's an investment. Anaheim must see something. They're very tight with their money. Pat Verbeek doesn't go out and just spend frivolously. He's very conservative with his spending. He trades guys in their prime if he doesn't think they're worth the money. So he must like Troy Terry. He likes what he brings to the table. It's a lot for a right winger. It's a lot. Yeah, like you mentioned, he scored 37. I don't know. Only time will tell. I think much like all these other bridge, these prove-it deals, so to speak, where you give it to him early, the first few years, it'll sting. But once he maybe hits his stride, but that's the thing, they give these deals to 22-year-old kids, 21-year-old kids. Troy Terry's 25, 26. He should be in his prime right now. So if his prime is 61 points, that's not a $7 million player. That's a $4, $5 million player. But I don't know. Only time will tell. They had to get this done. They had to keep him. So, at the end of the day, when I grade the deals, I'll give it a B-. I don't like it for the team. I think they could have maybe played hardball a little bit more. Maybe got him down to the 5.5, 6, 7's a lot. 7's definitely a lot of money for a Troy Terry who... And then you have to look at it this way. And this is, I'm a big picture guy, and I know people are sick of me saying this. Is this the guy who's going to win you a Stanley Cup? When you look at your rosters and you go, okay, who's my first line? I got Troy Terry on the right side. Is that striking fear in the opposition? Are they looking at my roster and go, ooh, Troy Terry, Trevor Zegras, ooh, that's a formidable first line? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I know you're kind of, you got to play the card you're dealt. If you're Pat Verbeek, you can't just manifest these players from out of nowhere. Not everybody can have a Kucherov. Not everybody can have a Marner. Not everybody can have these high-end players. But is this the guy you're going to win a cup with, Tim? Do you think this is a good enough first line? Because that's it. They've invested. Zegras and Terry. That's their first line. For the foreseeable future. And you can throw Killorn on that first line. Do you think that is a legit first line for them to win a Stanley Cup?
No, but they're not trying to win a Stanley Cup in the next couple of years. it's not a realistic goal for them. It all depends on that next generation of players coming up, like Zegras, who's only 22, Mason McTavish, who's 20 years old, Leo Carlson, who they just drafted the lottery pick, 18 years old, like Isaac Lundstrom, future friend of the show. Like those guys coming up together is going to be the what drives them to a Stanley Cup or not. It's not going to be Troy Terry's contract, I don't think. I know it's Lundstrom, a lot of money, but
Lundstrom won't be on the show, and it's because of his agent. The whole thing he did with Victor Hedman, I didn't really care for that.
Okay.
How's that metaverse going, by the way? Remember Victor Hedman came on the show and he's like, oh, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. It was the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, the metaverse is relevant now. No one's talking about it anymore.
What a waste of time, metaverse. Yeah, I'm going to go put goggles on and pretend I'm somebody else in my room. It's like, come on. But they do have a lot of money. No, go ahead.
That you couldn't understand the concept of a sandbox. That was pretty
good. It's so dumb. We're talking about hockey and we're going to go play in the sandbox?
It's a universal like tech term for like, you know, test environment. It's not, they didn't make it up.
It's so dumb. Everyone's going to get in the sandbox and then we're going to like hang out. Why? What are you going to do? I don't understand. Maybe I'm too old. I don't know. But that doesn't even, just go play video games. You know what I mean? That seems like more fun. You interact with people. You can play hockey online. You can play football. You can play war games. You can play army games. You can play all these games and you can talk to people. What are you doing in the sandbox in metaverse? You just go and stare at people, an imagination made up figment of what they want to be like this being. They had to take the legs off the metaverse because people were sexually abusing the other dolls in the metaverse. It's like, okay, that's happening. No more legs. It's wild. Man has fallen, Tim. Tell you what. All right. Moving on. I don't know how we get so far off. What do you grade the signing? 7 for 7. Anaheim Ducks.
I hate to agree with you. I think like a B. B
minus. Why do you hate to agree with me?
Because it sounds like, I don't know, it's boring radio if we disagree with each other, but
it's not the radio.
Yeah, boring podcast. Whatever.
I'm usually right. People, it's okay to agree with me. All right, moving on. Boston Bruins, Jeremy Swayman came to an agreement. 1 year, 3.475. Pretty close to Samsonov's numbers. Samsonov got 3.55. Obviously, the arbitrator thinks Swayman is not as good as Ilya Samsonov. I agree. Friend of the show, I'm sorry. What do you think, Tim? The Bruins are now over the cap. They gave Trent Frederick 2.5. Jeremy Swayman, 3.475. They only had 5.43 to spend. I'm not very good at math, but that's too much. What do they do now? They got to shuffle the deck. I don't want to spend too much time on the Bruins because they're going to stink this year. What do they do to get cap compliant, Tim? Who's the odd man out?
This man named Ian Mitchell. He's their 8th defenseman. He is 24 years old, 1 year deal. He'll be sent down to Providence to be cap compliant. And that puts him just about 13 forwards, 7 defensemen, 2 goalies with 400K in cap room left. So they're right up against it, but that's what they'll do. So they'll be okay to start the season anyway.
Do you have inside information on this? Is that confirmed?
No, just from what I read. He's the guy. Him or Zboril, but Zboril will get more. He's had more experience.
I think they just traded for Ian Mitchell. They're going to want to give him a chance. He's a reasonable cap, like you said. He's still an RFA. They're going to want to keep him in the system. I think they get rid of Grizzlick or Forbert. I think you start hitting the wires now, the phone calls, you start calling GMs. Hey, you want a defenseman? I got 2. I got a tough penalty killing guy who can maybe play 12 to 15 minutes a night in Derek Forbert. And I got a good young, short puck moving defenseman in Matt Grizzlick. Throw him on the second power play unit, decent in his defensive zone, and you can have him for 1 year. Not a big investment. That's what I would do. I'd trade one of those 2 guys. Then that gives you a little more leeway. If you need to add a centerman, you got some money in the bank. You can have a team maybe hold some cap back. Mark Scheifele, per se, maybe Hampus Lindholm in Calgary. You can go out and get somebody who's going to impact your team. Because you're going to have to do something at the deadline if you want to be competitive. Which I think Pasternak and Marchand want. They don't want to be in a rebuild mode. But they are. All right. I finished a very good book last night. I was very excited. I've been reading this book for the last 2 weeks and I can't put it down. And I finally finished it. The buildup was there, the payoff. How is this going to end? Everything was coming to this climactic moment. And then the book just ended. the two main characters walked into a city. I expected them to go scorched earth. Something was going to, you know, happen that was going to be epic. And nothing happened. Nothing at all. And I get on my phone, I'm like, what the heck's going on here? Why is there no finish to it? It's a 3-part series. And I had no idea. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to read 2 more books now. Tim, I got to read 2 more books. I'm so invested in it. I immediately bought the next book on Amazon Prime. It'll be here in 5 days, 6 days. Very upsetting. Very upsetting.
What book is this?
It was Father Elijah. So now I had to buy the next one, Elijah in Jerusalem. So it's about, nobody cares what it's about, but it's a very good book. And I was so excited for the end of it. I'm like, it's going to be great. The payoff's going to be there. He's going to like just, everything's going to go great or everything's going to go bad and everybody's going to get killed. I didn't care. I just wanted some, you know, closing to the book. It was 600 pages. Like how long was your book, Tim?
Like 300 something.
That's almost double. And it left me feeling wanting more. I was disappointed. Did I have buyer's remorse? Maybe. And it just got me thinking, which NHL teams right now are sitting back? The season's about to start. And they're just looking at their roster and they're looking at their cap and they're going, you know what? Maybe that was a bad choice. Milk was a bad choice. Maybe we shouldn't have done that. Maybe we overspent a little bit. And it got me thinking, which GMs are those, Tim? Which contracts are those? So I started to do some research and I like to put myself in people's situations. And I got a list of players that I think fooled their teams and signed a little bit of a bigger contract than maybe they deserved. And Tim, I looped him on this because he's obviously not going to come up with any ideas. And I have to, you know, steer the show in the direction that I want it to go. And I said, Tim, this is what we're doing today. And he said, that's a great idea, John. I'm game. And so we have a couple players each who we think the team will have buyer's remorse in a few years. Would you like to start, Tim, or would you like me to start?
I can start. And I'll add a little bit of a caveat here. It was hard to do because I don't think a lot of like egregious over the top contracts were handed out this season. I feel like a lot of GMs are being conservative. There's still some good players available. I don't think anyone really blew the bank on this, you know, the irresponsible contracts. So it was a little bit of a challenge.
You nailed it.
Yeah. Stuck the landing. and that said too, like the players I'm going to name are not bad players. Doesn't mean they're not going to possibly live up to their contract, but I feel like it's probably a little bit much and they could age poorly. And it's hard to say because most of the time you don't think it's going to, and then it does. So the first one I'll say, a little bit of a hard one, Pierre-Luc Dubois, $8.5 million for 8 years. A lot of money for a guy who's got a lot of the right attributes in terms of the size, the physicality, the two-way play. He can take faceoffs. He's a 60-point player. He's been a 60-point player for a few years now. There's a little bit of a question of his attitude. I don't read too much into that, and we talked about that. You know, he's been on some bad teams. He doesn't want to play for bad teams. He wants to be competitive. And so he requests a trade. That is what it is. He's still pretty young. It's a lot of money to commit to a guy that you have. You seen his best hockey yet? Maybe not. He's still pretty young, but at the same time, $68 million to a guy who's a 60-point player could age poorly. Could age poorly. He could easily not live up to that contract. And maybe, not to say he's a bad player, but he could be worth half of that 3 seasons from now. So long term, a lot of money for a guy that I feel like is not who I'd hitch my cart to.
I agree. And I looked at this, and I think what makes this even worse for the LA Kings is I truly believe this year and years coming that Gabriel Vilardi is the best player in this trade. He is very similar to Pierre-Luc Dubois. He makes less money. I think he has a higher ceiling than Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I think, like you mentioned, I think his engine is a little bit better than Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think Dubois gives up. I think he's got a bad attitude. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's going to do great in LA. I think he's going to do great things. But at the end of the day, boy, the Kings are going to look back and go, we gave up Vilardi, Iafallo, who's a pretty good goal scorer, Kupari, who's not bad. And then we linked this guy up for 8 years for eight schmil. Oof, we really lost that trade. Was the contract details wrong, Tim, that I got there?
It was 8 by 8.5.
8.5, excuse me, even worse. So yeah, that one is, it might even look bad next year when you look at the stats and Vilardi's got more than Pierre-Luc Dubois. And it'll happen. It could very easily happen. All right, my first one, I went for a guys who didn't sign the big ticket, because I think if you sign a big ticket, you're pretty good. You know, you're gonna pan out. They're gonna give you a lot of chances. JT Compher won a Stanley Cup. Very good player for the Colorado Avalanche. You know, he did a lot in that playoff run 2 years ago. People were impressed. They had a great third line, great fourth line. It was nice. He signed a huge deal this offseason, Tim, with the Detroit Red Wings. Do you even see this? It was kind of hidden. 5 years, $25.5 million, $5.1 million a year for JT Compher. What do you think of when you think of JT Compher? Top of your head.
Middle six forward, play in all situations. I'm going to guess like 40 points a year, you know.
He's been around 6 years. 6 years. Averages 30 points. Huh. 30 points a year. Some years he gets 25, 26. Last year he had a career year. And I think that bumps up his numbers a little bit. He had 52 points last year, his career year. He's going to get you 10 to 15 goals. That's good. He's going to get you 20 assists, maybe, but he's going to be in the 25 to 35 point range. That's a good season for him. Like that is a good season. And this isn't a small sample size. This guy's been in the show for 7 years. So we know what we're getting from a JT Compher. And Stevie Yzerman thought it was wise to sign him for 5 years at $5.1 million. It is incredible. He's 28 years old. He is on the back nine of his career. By the time he gets to the last 2 years of this contract, not bueno for the Detroit Red Wings. I don't understand it. I don't like this deal. I think Stevie Yzerman is a good GM. I think he's made a lot of mistakes with the money he's given out lately. So this one, I saw this and I just shook my head. I'm like, how? And don't get me wrong, JT Compher is a good player. He should be making 3.5. That's where he should live. 5.1 for 5 years. And the reason he gets this money, and my agent told me this when I was playing, when it came to July 1st and we're trying to pick teams, where do you want to go? This is why I never went to Edmonton. They tried to sign me every free agency period. They were always garbage. This was back in the years when they were getting the first overall pick every single year. They wanted me. My agent said, you go there, it'll end your career. Other teams want winners. You need to go to a situation that you're going to be successful. You're going to have decent numbers. And for me, that's +1, 3 assists. But you're not on a bad team where you're -10. You know what I mean? You need to go somewhere where you're winning, because other GMs, they want a piece of that. That's why JT Compher and my next player, their contracts are big. That's why Barclay Gaudreau got a huge deal. That's why Yanni Gourde got a huge deal. That's cool. That's why all these guys, Blake Coleman, they get these massive deals because they hitched their cart to a good team. That team wins a Stanley Cup or gets really darn close to a Stanley Cup. And other GMs see that and they go, oh, we need that guy. He's good. You see that? He was on a team that almost won the Stanley Cup or did win the Stanley Cup. That's valuable. That's why JT Compher gets an extra $1.5 or $2 million contract, $2 million on his contract. That's the reason. So it's a good deal for him. I think it's a big overpay, especially the five-year term is wild. He's 28 years old. That's mine, Tim. All right. Who do you got? Who do you got next?
I did a couple more. One was Troy Terry, so I'm not going to talk about that one again, but that could age poorly. The next one I'll do, it fits in with the one what you just talked about, the cup winner and that what the short-term memory. Ivan Barbashev. Now, he was fantastic in the playoffs. 18 points, 22 games. Very, very important. Huge part of that cup run. But that's what we remember. And they gave him a five-year contract at $5 million per. He's a guy that has mostly been like a 45-point guy in the regular season. He topped that once 2 seasons ago. He had 60 points. But he's been like a 20 to 30 to 40-point guy for most of his career. And there's also like everything goes right for you in the span of 6-8 weeks in a playoff run, and you're expiring free agent and you want to cash in on that. And it hardly ever goes well the next couple of seasons. He could still be a good player. It makes me think of a different player, but Lucic, you know, 6 years by six, that aged pretty poorly over the second half of that contract, really after the first year or two. And this could go similarly. So Ivan Barbashev, I hope not. I think he's a good player, but it's one that a lot of question marks. It could age poorly.
Yeah, 18 points in the playoff run last year. Arguably the best player. And what did I say before the playoffs? Who's going to be the most impactful player?
You said he would be the best pickup at the deadline.
Oh, okay. And he was, I think, right?
Sure was.
Yeah, gosh. I don't always like to be right, but it feels good. It feels good. Yeah, that's a good one. It's even staggering that he makes less than JT Confort. It's wild. Because if you put those two players next to each other, Barbashev, you can throw on the first line and feel good about it. You know what I mean? A solid left winger, responsible defensively somewhat.
He's got a 26 goal season under his belt. You know, he can be that guy, but will he is the question.
Does it give you any hesitation that he's from Russia? Do you think it's a ticking time bomb?
I wasn't going to say anything, but no.
What do you think those Russians, do they talk to each other and they go, oh no, Valerie, what are you doing, man? No, not another one. Why? You think they, because they're close. You think Ovi like has a group text for all the Russians?
I was just thinking that. Yeah. There's no way Malkin's part of it though. No. I'm too busy.
Yeah, he's too good for this. Speaking of Russians, here's my next bad contract. This one might surprise you, Tim, because this player is very good. Elite, like elite. Ilya Sorokin. One of, if not the best goalie in the league. He's fantastic. Those Russians are good goalies. My goodness. Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Sorokin. What's in the water over there? I have a good idea. Yeah, I have a pretty good idea. But Ilya Sorokin signs an 8-year, $66 million contract with the New York Islanders. I have no problem with this deal if it's a 3-year deal. It's very high. But he's a very good goaltender. You know, you got to pay for the studs. And this guy's a stud. He is, like I said, top three in the league. He's been in the league 3 years. He spent his first few years pro in the KHL. He was with CSKA Moscow. And he was incredible. He was getting save percentage 940, goals against 1.15. He was incredible. Winning KHL championships year after year after year. He's a stud wherever he plays. That translated to NHL success. He's good. My only issue with this contract, and I say this because this is buyer's remorse. When you buy a car, you want that car to run for 10 years, 15 years. You want to get 200,000 miles out of it. You want some longevity. You don't just want to get a car and then 2 years in, it's like, damn, it's breaking down already. Got to fix the tranny, the brakes. The brakes go every 60,000 miles. But all these things are happening. And you got to put some money into it. It's starting to, you know, it's not running as smoothly as it did when I first bought it. I think this is what's going to happen with the New York Islanders. Ilya Sorokin's good now, but he turns 28 years old tomorrow. And have you seen him on the ice? He's not like a positionally sound goaltender. He is stretching and reaching and putting his body in all kind of pretzels that I don't know how he can do it. You think he's going to want to do that when he's 35, 34? Been through the wars. Hopefully they have a couple long playoff runs. I don't think so. I've seen this story before. Another Russian, Bobrovsky. He's terrible a couple years ago. He finally got a little bit of a rest in Florida. Now he's back to being somewhat respectable. But he was garbage, Tim, for 2-3 years. $10 million contract. What do we do with the guy? Can't trade him. Can't waive him. Just bury him on our roster. This is what will happen with Ilya Sorokin in my eyes. 8 years. 8.250 for 8 years. Oh, 66 million. There you go. That's mine. Not good, Lou Lamoriello. And what is Lou Lamoriello doing in the NHL altogether? How was this guy not fired? With the mismanagement that he's done with the New York Islanders for the last 4 or 5 years, it's incredible that he still has a job. Talk about Alex Galchenyuk, another Russian, coasting on like a couple good years. Lou Lamoriello has been coasting on the New Jersey Devils Stanley Cup from 25 years ago for so long. He buried the Toronto Maple Leafs for years with bad contracts and mismanaged prospects and not playing the young guys and just leaning on the older guys. And we need character. You charactered yourself right out of a Stanley Cup contention. And he's doing the same with the New York Islanders now. Oh, Matt Barzal, we're not going to play him. We want him to be responsible. The guy's a burner. Let him go. Oh, we got to get some vets in here. They're going to be great. You guys are doing it all wrong. So in this offseason, what do? They just re-up everybody. Everybody. And then they go and sign Bo Horvat, who's 28. A big moose of a man, don't get me wrong. But they sign him to an 8-year, $8.5 million contract. Like, oh my gosh, guys. It's wild. It's crazy that he still has a job, too.
Would you take Horvat or Dubois? Identical contracts.
Dubois.
Me too.
Yeah. And yeah. It's no slighting Bo Horvat. Don't get me wrong. Like we said, he's a moose of a man, but how is that going to age? He plays a hard-nosed game. I mean, he doesn't put up huge points, too. His season high is 61. Like, he averages 50. Bo Horvat? Going to get you 20, 25 goals? I'm taking Dubois. All right. Ilya Sorokin. Moving on, Tim. You got one more? Because I got one more.
No, I covered all mine.
All right, Ross Colton. We'll just touch on this one real quick. 4 years, $4 million. I think he was signed to replace JT Compher in Colorado, who outpriced himself at 5.1. Wild. Same situation. Wins a Stanley Cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's got that winner's shine on him. People like that. Very unproven. He had 32 points last year. If you're going to pay your third line center $4 million, I don't like it. I think you invest that money elsewhere. Defenseman, first or second line center. He's a good player, but 4 years at $4 million. Hopefully he gets a chance to take that next step. I don't know if he can, but and I hate dumping on good players. And I always used to give people fist bumps. Ville Leino, arguably the worst contract in NHL history. We used to laugh every 2 weeks when check time would come. He's like, I'm robbing the bank. Cause he wouldn't even play hockey, Tim. He would just say, I'm not going to play. I'm done. And I'm like, are you hurt? Nah, I don't know. I just don't feel good. And he was banking ton. Same with Christian Ehrhoff. Christian worked his tail off, but a terrible contract. You know, he had a couple good years with the Avalanche. He signed, or not the Avalanche, the Canucks, signed to a huge ticket in Buffalo. It never lived up to it. But just, yeah, we'll see. It's good for the players. More money in the system, more money, more problems though. All right. What else, Tim?
Ross Colton reminds me of Barkley Gaudreau. And I think he signed for 4 years too, or $4 million. Right after he won the cup.
Goody. That's another bad contract. Boy, oh yeah. Boy. I wish I had a bad contract. That's a player. Like Revo. And I told him, I'm like, you got a bad contract. How are you? And he's like, I don't know, man. They keep offering it. I'm not going to turn it down. Barkley was 3.6. Quite 4. All right. Anything else, Tim?
Yeah, you had a tweet last night that I thought was pretty interesting. This is from, I don't even know who it's from. John, why is nobody sending an offer sheet for Bouchard for the Oilers? Oilers would be crippled if they lost Bouchard or had to match. A team like Chicago can offer $8 million and give up the draft picks they need while depleting the Oilers. West teams need to beat the Oilers to go deep, so why not go for this? Bouchard is an RFA, still not signed. They have about $4.5 million in cap room, the Oilers do. Will he sign for that? Why don't teams make an offer sheet?
Well, I think the reason is teams don't have money. You mentioned the Chicago Blackhawks. They might be the only one who has that kind of money available to sign an Evan Bouchard. So I think that's the reason. The money is not in the system. Tim, you mentioned it earlier. We saw it with free agency. Teams were hesitant to spend money. So the Hawks are a landing spot. Do they want to invest $8 million in an Evan Bouchard when they already have a decent defense? They got a lot of money invested in there with Seth Jones. They brought in Jake McCabe. They have Nikita Zaitsev, Connor Murphy. They have some guys on the back end who make some money. Do they want to put another $8 million back there? And they're not going to win for a few more years? It makes sense, but I think the main reason is AGMs don't like to do that. It's slimy. They don't want to make a bad reputation. You get that reputation, other GMs won't trade with you. It's an old boys club. It's an unwritten rule, whatever you say, but it's there. And then there's just no money in the system. So, and is Evan Bouchard worth it? Is he worth a first rounder? Because that's what it'll be. It's based on the contract you give him. It'll be a first and a second or two first. Like, it'll be a high price to pay to get him because he's going to want $8 million. And I don't know how it works out, but it's at least a first. And right now, if you're the Chicago Blackhawks, you potentially have a lottery pick. Would you give up a lottery pick to get Evan Bouchard? Tim?
No, probably not.
That's an easy no. Like, he's a good defenseman. Don't get me wrong. You can mark him down for 40, 50 points. Like, he's good. Lottery pick. You got a potential to get Connor Bedard. So, good question, though. I don't know. If I was a GM, I would entertain that every single offseason. Who can I get put in a bad spot? I would look at every team situations. Like he said, especially in the Western Conference, if I was a Western Conference GM, how can I make it hard on this team? And I would make enemies. But nobody wants to do that because they're always thinking about their next job. Once I get fired, is this president going to hire me because I put him in a tough situation 2 years ago? I don't think so. Anything else, Tim?
You want to do a voicemail? You want to save it for next time?
It's up to you. You're the one who's got to go. I don't care.
All right. Let's do one. We got a couple good ones here that I've got in the queue that if you left one, we'll get to them all. This is one from John in Dallas. I'll let it speak for itself.
Hi, this is John in Dallas. I was just listening to your podcast about building your team, and I was wondering if, depending on what conference you're in, if you would change up on how you would build your team due to, like, travel schedule and things like that. So curious on what you guys think.
No, I don't think so. Would you? I think you build your team however you want to build it. If you start trying to pander to the conference, I think that's when you get in trouble. The only thing I would say is you have to react accordingly. So if someone goes out and gets toughness, then you have to add toughness to kind of match that. Like you see in the East this offseason, you get Reeves, you get McEwen, you get Lucic. It's like, I'm not going to have my team getting abused when I could just add somebody for a reasonable amount. So.
You don't think your strategy, like if you were the GM of an expansion team in the Atlantic versus the Pacific, it wouldn't be different strategies?
No, I don't think so. I think you build your team accordingly. No, you think the East is more swift skating and the West is more bigger, tough?
I mean, that's the generalities. I don't know. I have to dig more into it, but I thought it might be enough a travel schedule. I don't think that stuff would have an impact, but yeah, I thought maybe the teams that you're playing for half the season would impact how you might want to build that team. But again, it could also change year over year too. And all of a sudden you're stuck with contracts and the teams around you have changed. So I guess it makes sense to go for the best players.
I think you have to be, you don't want to be reacting to other people. You want to be proactive and build your team how you want to build it and have other teams react to you. Like you want to be the one setting the trends. That's the way I see it. If you're reacting, you've already lost. Right, Tim?
Belichick said that. Napoleon said that. There's a lot of people that have talked about that. I want the enemy reacting to me, not the other way around.
You always bring up like wars and stuff. You have an issue. And was Napoleon a good guy or a bad guy? Why would we want to listen to him?
Complicated. Probably the best tactician of all time.
Because he was short?
He wasn't even that short.
That's what,
like,
was he?
Misconception. He was like 5'3", but that was pretty close to the average at the time. People were short back 200 years ago.
5'3"?
Look it up.
If he's 5'3", and you said he wasn't short.
5'6". 5'6".
Tim, that's tiny. That's a little guy.
It wasn't tiny in 1814.
I always wish that I could go back to like the times, like in Robin Hood, whatever era that was. Like where if you were a mountain of a man, you were like, you're the king. You are now the king. Everybody looks up to you. You're the best. Like it was all just completely superficial. It didn't have anything to do with how smart you are. It had nothing to do with if you're a good person or not. Just like, oh, you're big, you're strong. Following you. Let's go. You're gonna protect me. Give me some food.
I think you'd have to go back to like caveman times for that, but okay.
I'd love that. You'd
do what?
I don't want to insult you, so I won't. You'd be dead so fast, though. So, oh my gosh. There's always those scenarios. It's like, all right, who are we going to eat first? Who are we going to kill first? It's Tim, the weakest link.
I get a lot of messages about you being mean to me. And to be honest, I don't agree. Like, I know, like, we bicker and banter and you pick on me, but that's your way of saying, Tim, I love you and I respect you and I appreciate you. And thanks for being part of the show with me. That's how you say it.
Says the abused wife. That's how he says he loves me.
Oh, hey, I'm skating this weekend. Funny. I'm going to skate this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Take a video. Can you?
No, not with hockey. No,
I wouldn't either, but I hope it goes well. Are you nervous?
No, but what's funny is I'm going to just do like a drop in this weekend and then I'm going to sign up for a league. And leagues are so strict down here. Like in Michigan and even in Boston, it's easy. Here, you've got to register with USA Hockey. You've got to sign up. Even the drop ins, you have to sign up the night before and pay ahead of time. And to be part of a league, you have to like meet all these requirements. They're very strict about making sure players are with the right talent level and you can't just jump up and down. You can't play for multiple teams as a sub. If you are a free agent like me, who's like, doesn't know anyone, wants to join a team, they have tryouts and then they have like a live draft where they assign you to teams and leagues. It's super intense. I don't know if I love that, but
wow,
so that'll be in like 3 weeks.
That's gotta be because of liability, right? If you get hurt, they could maybe sue the league or the, who knows? That's strange.
I think it's also just because there's a lot of people down here, but not as many rings. So they have to add some structure to it, you know? But
I would love to do that and then sign up and then show up and they'd be like, oh my gosh, that guy's good. First round draft pick. It really boosts my ego. I need it. I need it. Maybe I'll come down. I'm not coming down. All right. Anything else, Tim?
I got to give a quick birthday shout out. It is Tom Brady's birthday today. So Tom, happy birthday. Love you, buddy.
You're such a geek. Are you serious?
Yeah, August 3rd, man. It's his birthday.
Even the fact that he left New England and went and won a championship with somebody else, you still have loyalty to him.
John, he won six championships for us. We won six.
Belichick won six.
Together.
Belichick.
How many wins? Who's going to win the who's going to win the AL East this year?
The Blue Jays.
Okay.
Who are you going to AFC? Who are you going to say?
AFC East.
The AL East is baseball, Tim.
AFC East is what I meant.
The Bills. You still owe me probably 15 breakfasts. Who do you think the Patriots are going to win, honestly? You can sit there and look me in the eye. Who do you think is going to win? The Jets?
Jets or Dolphins?
Dolphins? Bills have won it 2 years in a row. We got to go through them.
A lot of good
that
did them.
They got LaDavius White coming back. Von Miller is going to be full speed all season. They're going to be very good. The running back is questionable. They got Stephon Diggs. They got a good receiving corp. They got Josh Allen, who needs to stop running as much, just fling the ball around. Drafted a good tight end. They got two good tight ends, Dawson Knox and this young kid. They got a good team. They're going to be good. But the AFC East is loaded. Patriots will be last. They'll be lucky to be 500. Right, Tim?
No. Bounce back.
Mac Jones? That guy's garbage. All right, that's enough. No one wants to hear about this. I'll talk to everybody next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.